If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Did you have a good holiday?
I had a fantastic time, and a crappy New Year to you, and treason's greetings as well.
That's right. Happy New Year.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. By the way, you wrote a piece about, you said even Trump can't afford to roll back Obama's Russia sanctions. You said the next 20-odd days are going to be interesting anyway. And you said that even Trump, you think, realizes there's political price to be paid to be being perceived as Putin's poodle. But we shall see, right?
Yeah, I mean, you try to, like, figure out what this guy knows and what he doesn't know at your peril. But I don't think there's any way he can do it in a, you know, in all at once kind of thing.
Right.
Although I am looking forward to the first summit meeting where Donald shows up in the French maid uniform.
And a feather duster. You said that you ended the piece by saying, my advice, watch the electric Twitter machine. Something's coming. What do you mean, Charlie? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I just thought maybe you knew something I didn't know about the Russia stuff.
No, I know nothing.
Okay.
I know nothing, and I know nothing that you don't know.
All right, fine. And, as Donald Rumsfeld will say, and with unknown knowns and
knowns
unknowable
and
knowns.
Unknown knowns.
Right.
Who knows?
We are in the land of unknowable knowns now.
Yeah.
I mean,
and unknowable gnomes.
You got Congress is like chloroforming the ethics process in the middle of the night.
Yes. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. And this is even before the new guys get in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. By the way, you wrote, I'm sorry to, but anyone who went to those rallies and didn't think racism, sexism, and xenophobia were the accelerants was deaf, dumb, and blind.
I do apologize to people with handicaps. That was not a great phrase, but yes, I mean, I am not going to answer the question of whether or not everybody who voted for Donald Trump is a racist. It's a stupid question. But I'm telling you, it's what energized the rallies, okay? And if you don't think so, you didn't go to one.
Right. Right. I like the person in the Klan outfit going, honey, does this white sheet make me look too economically anxious?
Yes, economic anxiety expressed itself in a number of different and interesting ways.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, so you tweeted about the whole, as you would say, squint in the meat puppet controversy. So Joe Scarborough and Mika were at the Mar-a-Lago party. I see a picture of them, and it looks very much like they say it was not during the party. It was before the party, setting up an interview, but it seemed like they were there.
Who among us has not had a formal business meeting at a party in a mansion in Palm Beach on New Year's Eve?
Right before an actual party starts.
Absolutely the way everybody does business, right?
Yeah, yeah. You said,
and of course, he went bananas over the, you know, by the end of the day yesterday, and I was at a perfectly lovely football game being annoyed by this, he was trying to define the word reveling to get himself out from under this thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we all were there for the $2 billion of free media that Donald Trump got.
Sure.
And, you know, he talks to Scarborough, I guess, every other day on the phone or blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is part of what got us here, right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. And I mean, if you think you have an in with the new president, you have to, you know, run a TV show, you exploit it, but at least own it. I mean, don't be fighting for fighting on Twitter for an hour and a half about whether or not you are reveling.
Right. Right.
I don't even want to think about Joe and Mika reveling. I mean,
that's the thing. Just because, you know, he has said some negative things, I still don't get why there is a 3 hours on the so-and-so, you know, so-called liberal network that is hosted by a Republican. I don't get it.
To me, the smoking gun and the whole thing are the repeated 20 minutes of the empty podium on cable news.
Right.
You know, before he would show up.
Right.
As though, you know, somebody was coming down on a cloud.
Right. Right. No, Charlie, you wrote a great piece this week, and I share your first of all, I feel like there is no other story other than the Russian hacking right this moment. But secondly, I'm just so sick of this punditry that at the moment when I feel like we have experienced an act of war, as John McCain would say. But you wrote a piece, a few thoughts on the Democratic Party's hostility toward religion, whether it's us saying, how do we speak to the angry white man in the Rust Belt better, or this thing. And you wrote, I have great empathy for the people whose lives feel so desperate or whose spirituality feels so besieged that they decided to hand the government over to a vulgar talking yam. I have great empathy, but Jesus says Christ on a grand piano. I'm completely out of sympathy. Ever since November 9th, I've been told the only thing for us all to do is to buy a cookie for every member of the white working class while simultaneously abandoning identity politics. Come now, inevitably, the white evangelical Christians shoving their way to the front of the snickerdoodle line. That was spectacular, Charlie Piercy in writing.
Thank you. I thought the piece I was responding to was just completely dreadful.
Right, but that's what I mean. Since when have Christians been persecuted in America? It's like this ridiculous war on Christmas thing.
You are not facing the Emperor Diocletian because your company has to buy its Presbyterian janitor her birth control as part of her healthcare package.
Right.
No.
Right.
You just aren't. And I don't, you know.
Or because you provide services and you have to also provide them to gay people because
yes.
You provide a service, right?
Yes, you have to make a cake for a gay wedding or else
right.
The state will yell at you.
Yeah.
It won't do anything else but yell at you.
I love your line. You said, when did the followers of Jesus become such delicate little snowflakes? But you say evangelicals went 81% for perhaps the most irreligious presidential candidate in American history because evangelicals vote their conservatism, not their Christianity. That is, I haven't heard anyone else say that, and that's absolutely true.
Well, no, I mean, it's something that I go on to talk about a panel I was on years and years ago where a professor of theology from Gordon-Conwell was with me, and he said that sooner or later the evangelicals would vote for an atheist if he held the right positions on issues X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And I said I didn't think they would, and I was really wrong because this year they pretty much did.
Right, and you say, by the way, who precisely is the Democratic politician who can bark on this quote-unquote robust conversation among religious and sexual bigots about how their dearly nurtured prejudices were not necessarily what the Gospels had in mind without being condemned as a godless infidel?
There's a certain point where you recognize there are people, you know, your arms aren't long enough to do outreach, basically.
Exactly. Well, and you made a really great point about Betsy DeVos, the education secretary nomination. You said we have a politics right now that's based on making enemies. This is what the person wrote that you were talking about, and making people afraid. I think that we're seeing this with the Betsy DeVos nomination. It's much easier to make people scared of evangelicals and to make evangelicals the enemy. By the way, this is the president who just called everyone that disagreed with him his enemies over New Year's, right?
Yes, happy New Year, you enemies, you.
God. But you said, my father worked in public education for 35 years, and Betsy DeVos doesn't believe in public education. She's also manifestly unqualified, has demonstrated dangerous incompetence, that she's also blatantly theocratic about it is only part of the problem. But that's what I mean. It's just they always go to this, oh, you're attacking her because she's religious. And that's not, how do you put someone, like, as you say, in charge of education that doesn't believe in public education?
Yeah, that to me is, of all the cabinet nominations, that's the most, and for reasons that are probably mostly personal, that's the one that offends me the greatest. And no, I didn't go to public. I went to public school for 1 year.
Right.
My parents wanted me to have a Catholic education, so I went to Catholic school.
Right. Me too.
But
and by that, I mean specifically your...
anyone else to pay for it.
Right. Right. That's why specifically I meant your parents wanted me to go to Catholic school. I'm not sure why my parents were so influenced by yours, Charlie. But anyway, that's...
it's that whole World War II thing.
Exactly.
You know, they all knew each
right,
other.
The greatest generation.
Everybody that was in World War II knew each other. I figured that out.
Your parents, you know, I don't think that one's going to turn out well. I think you've got to at least try. Catholic school. But anyway, you made a great point. You said, I don't want to appeal to people who think Betsy DeVos should be in charge of public schools. I want to stop them, period. And I wrote another great piece. I think, Marianne Williamson, we're having her on, but The Great Resistance 2017. It's like, we have to remember, like, you know, Martin Luther King said, love your enemy, but he wanted to stop them. that's the point of resistance, right?
I agree. I think that if the business I'm in contributes anything, it should be to hammer out the point that there really isn't a mandate for a lot of this stuff.
Right.
That this is all, you know, private interests.
Yeah.
Sensing the main chance. I mean, you can see that with this ethics commission, this independent ethics body that got pretty much decimated in the dead of night.
Yeah.
You're going to see it with the Interior Department, with, you know, drilling rigs and open pit mines in the Grand Canyon. And, you know, it's all about private interest. It's not about the public good.
Yeah.
And the public itself doesn't want any of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we shall see. But the other thing I keep saying is it seems like there's all this stuff percolating on the Russia front. I don't know what you've heard, but I just keep this thing to me. Like, is Mitch McConnell, for instance, going to be able to get away with not having an actual bipartisan investigation with subpoena power and all of that? I mean,
there's nobody to stop him. I mean, they've proven that they're completely impervious to public opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't respond to a public outcry. The president-elect certainly is not going to climb on them for it. And there's absolutely no way to force him to do that.
What about McCain and Lindsey Graham, though?
They have no influence. They haven't had any influence over the Republican Party in the Senate for, almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
And to an extent, in some ways, that's good, because otherwise we'd be at war, like, everywhere.
Yeah. All right, and scene for America and for democracy. Thank you, Charlie.
So you're still going to be at the inauguration, right? You're still going to be in Washington.
Oh, yes. Excellent. I will be leading the resistance. Thank you, Charlie. I'll see you there.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye. That was kind of depressing there.